I'm thankful for the opportunities the Lord has granted us to seek Him. To seek Him with all of our hearts. To draw from His Spirit. And to celebrate His goodness. When we started this set of meetings, starting from Rosh Hashanah until now, the Feast of Sukkot, which are all the Feast of the Lord, I made mention of the fact that I do believe that the return of the Lord is going to be in this segment of the feast. Because every feast has been mashed up with something God did at a particular time. Now, this set of fall feasts mirror the feast in the spring in so many ways. But this one, the Feast of Sukkot, while it is not the holiest of the holy days, as Yom Kippur is, being the Feast of Atonement, this is the Feast of Tabernacle. It takes 7 days. If Rosh Hashanah is a possibility, because it is the time of the blasting of the trumpet, the beginning of a new year, a new season, a new moment, and Yom Kippur is the time of atonement, the time of covering, the time of bringing to an equal value, meaning that God brings us in a very physical sense to that place where we really get to see as He is, so are we in this world. The Feast of Tabernacle holds this amazing aspect to it, that it is a time of God tabernacling with us. And this feast is very special to God, because this is the feast that brings the hundredfold return to the believer. When the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the seed that the sower sowed, and He came to the last set of seeds, the one that really prospered, the one that truly brought fruitfulness to fullness, He said, some bring 30, 60, and then He said a hundredfold. Remember that? Have you ever wondered why He said 30, 60, and 100? Well, the 36 and hundredfold is tied to the three feasts that He says we must not come to Him empty-handed in. The first one being the feast that we might call the Feast of Unleavened Bread or Passover. The second one being the one of Pentecost is the 60-fold. The first one is 30-fold, 60-fold. And this one is the third one, the third feast. And this is the feast of the hundredfold. Amen? And in these three feasts, He said we must not come empty-handed. Now, when God says don't come empty-handed, He's not saying just come and tip me. No, He's saying if a farmer who wants a large crop has to sow good seed. If you sow great sea seeds, you get a great sea harvest. Yeah? You sow great B seed, you get great B harvest. You sow great A seed, you get great A harvest. And God says that when we have prepared seed, and those are just so you know, just so you know, since you know now, and you've heard me say it, There are three key times that God really comes and checks on the harvest or the seed. Let me put it that way. Every other seed is good. Nothing wrong with the seeds. But there are three times in the year that he challenges believers to bring a special seed because he comes at that time to exchange seeds with you. Let me say it again. He comes at that time to exchange seeds with you. Let me say it the third time. He comes at that time to exchange seeds with you. You say, why do you say that? Because God gives seeds to the sower. He gives his seed so that your little becomes much. You do little and it produces more than it should. Amen? And this one is the one that he brings the hundredfold return kind of a seed to people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So during this season, when we step into this season, this is when you sow your best seed in the kingdom. You plan on it. Amen? You plan on it. At this time, I'm going to make certain I bring this kind of seed. God of the first fruits. And by the way, this is also called the time of the first fruits, this season. The season of the Feast of Tabernacles is a time of first fruits. But we also have the first fruits in the spring. But this is another phase of first fruits. And there are three fundamental times that God says we must not come empty-handed to him. During this feast, and one primary aspect is when God says that every firstborn needs to present himself to him, and when they come, when the firstborn comes, and remember who the firstborn is. The firstborn is a first fruit. Yeah? He says the first fruit, that firstborn should not come empty-handed. Why? Because God wants to bless the rest. Amen? So every firstborn has to be presented as first fruit to God. Every firstborn belongs to God. Every firstborn. Amen? Well, my dad, I think, really believed it literally. I don't know whether he knew that verse when he put me on the offering plate. This one belongs to God. You're going to serve God all of your life. I've been running away from it, but God put me on the offering plate. Hallelujah. God is a good God. I don't blame him. I'd rather be doing this than anything else. Amen. I'm happier doing this than being an engineer or a doctor or anything else. Same kind of pressure, but when you're doing what God's called you to do, you're at peace. Amen? You're at peace. You don't want to do what I do. Being a minister can be a tedious job. But when the grace of God is upon it, and you know that these burdens are not your burdens to carry, you don't burn out. But there are so many sons and daughters that are doing ministry, helping, doing excellent jobs, doing the work of the ministry, helping people, and cannot sleep because they're carrying other people's problems. There are men that are killing themselves, committing suicide, pastors, because it's overwhelming. But when you rest in God, amen? When you rest in God, it's like hot knife cutting through butter, because you are resting in him. Amen? My prayer for every one of you today is that you find rest in God and do not fret or worry in any area, in any aspect of your life concerning anything, that you rest in the goodness of God because he's tabernacling with you and you with him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I want to revisit some of the things we've been talking about. Well, let me start out by reading from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. We'll take it from the 15th verse. Actually, before I read the 15th verse, I'll encourage you to go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, and read through that particular chapter, and you'll find the three different feasts that I've just mentioned to you. The first one being the Passover, and then you go on and you deal with the weeks of Pentecost. And now we come to this, and I'll take it up from verse 13. Actually, let's start it from verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. In other words, he's including everybody. You and your servants, everybody. Strangers, everybody. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the feast we are celebrating right now, after Tabernacles 7 days, after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. First thing we're going to do tonight, because this is the feast of ingathering. And it says, gather in your corn and your wine. We are going to spiritually, let me put it this way. The first way God worked was with what? With words. Yeah? Words. Okay? We're going to step into that place right now, and we're going to declare that all of our harvest, all of our corn, all of our wine is gathered. Are you with me? Okay. Declare it. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. It doesn't matter. Just begin to declare, I call in and I gather all of my corn, all of my harvest, and all of my wine. Hallelujah. I call it. It is gathered, Lord. It is gathered. It is gathered. It is gathered. I thank you, Lord, O God, for the gathering of all my corn and my wine, representing, O God, my resources. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, known and unknown. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare right now that, Lord, O God, that there is a gathering. There's an ingathering. I call you corn. I call you wine. I call you resources that are represented by corn and wine to come to me now. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. The word of God says, And thou shalt observe the feast of tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast. This, as I said to you last Sunday evening, I believe it was, is the feast that God calls us to rejoice in. Is there any feast that God doesn't call you to rejoice in? No, there's no such feast. But this one is very specific concerning. He says you rejoice in this one. Amen? There's a celebration, there's a shout. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. He says, and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and thy leaver, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow that are within thy gates 7 days, shalt thou keep a solemn fast. Wait a minute. How is it that we are rejoicing and we can be solemn at the same time? How does this work? We're supposed to, don't write me any funny letters. Should we do the Mennonite thing or should we do the Pentecostal thing? Which way do we go on this? We're supposed to be, you know, Lutheran or Catholic or charismatic? What is the Lord really talking about? Solemn. For God, being solemn does not necessarily just mean quiet. It means focused. Focus your attention. This is a sacred. This is not just singing and dancing for singing and dancing's sake. We are focused on the Lord, not allowing any distraction here. We want to be focused on the Lord, and we want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So it doesn't matter whether you're Mennonite or charismatic. It's about your focus. And you rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. It's not whether you're clapping or shouting or just standing still. Because there's a place where God's word says, be still and know that I'm God. So there's a place for that. Amen? And we do a lot of stuff, you know, confusing ourselves about mode of worship. And all God is concerned about is, are you worshiping me? Are you worshiping me? Because you can be singing and dancing and be dancing to the devil. Seven days shalt thou keep a solemn fast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine, what? Increase. He will bless you in all thine increase. Praise the Lord. Remember the first river? Pison? And it stands for increase? Well, the first thing that God wants to do in our life is to bring about increase. Somebody declare, Lord, I receive supernatural increase in my life. I refuse decrease of any good thing. Somebody shout hallelujah. God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. In all the works of your hands. God says, I'm going to bless you there in the works of your hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely do what? Rejoice. What does Paul say? Rejoice. And again, I say what? Rejoice. He says, during this feast, I want you rejoicing. Glory be to God. He says, rejoice and keep on rejoicing. Because I'm God who's going to bring increase into your life. I'm the God who's going to bless every work of your hands. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is the promise of the Feast of Tabernacles. God wants to tabernacle with us. You say, but wait a minute. But the feast of, they're just building stuff outside and they sleep outside. So what is this all about? Well, even this day, till today, if you go to Israel, even in some of their hotels, in the banquet area, they will have a spot that they will build the tabernacle in, but you have to have access to see the heavens. Because God, the reason is so that we see that God, who promised to bless us like the stars of the heavens. Amen? There is provision. God wants you to, when you go out there and you see this big world, you say, God, you created all of this. And look at the house that I built over there. I'm limiting myself with that little dingy, but man, you're in some little dingy thing over here. No, I'm not just in some little dingy thing over here. I'm reminding myself that my little dingy little thing over here is just as little as that big house that I have over there. This is little because this God is a God who wants to bless me with the expanse of the heavens. He will open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon me. Amen? You know your nice little house and the rain pours and it falls on the roof and it goes to the ground. But how are you going to stay inside that boot, that tabernacle made out of leaves and the water does not hit you when it rains? God says, stay in a place where my blessing can come upon you and you are reminded that my rain, and one of these is I'm going to talk about the rain of God. My rain is from the heavens. And just like we held that bottle of water the other day and say, this is from the river of God. When you're walking in that rain, under that rain, and water is pouring on you, remind yourself, this is not just rain. This is water from the river of heaven touching me, and it's bringing about increase in my life. Increase. Amen? I'm not going to block the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. God impact my life and cause me to be fruitful. Amen? Cause my life to be fruitful. Cause this life to be good ground. Glory be to God. Are you listening? So that when somebody gives something to me, it multiplies for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of my sons and daughters in the Lord have learned that secret. They've learned that secret. It is not unusual for somebody to come and give me a big fat check. Why are you doing this? Papa, since I've been giving into your life, things have been happening in my life. That's why God says when you bring the first fruit, you put it in the hands of a priest. Amen? You put it because he has to be good soil. The rain of God must be upon his life. The water of heaven must pour on him so that anything that is sown into him is generating increase. One of my sons called me just the other day. Says, I got to tell you this testimony. It's a young man giving him a word 2 years ago. And in this year, I gave him, confirmed that word. You know, you meet people and you tell them different things, and and you don't know who you told what to, but as soon as I saw him, the Lord moved my hand, and I went like this. I said, 2 years. And I said, did I talk to you about 2 years before? He said, yeah. So we reconnected, and tells me this amazing story about what I told him about and how he's been working towards it and how different people have come into his life to try to redirect his life and, you know, almost bribe him to do certain things. He says, but the Lord kept on saying, no, not them. That's not your father. I've known these people all my life. No, not them. He says, but you are. He says, I'm going to start this, what you told me, and this is the date that has been set. It's going to be 2 years. And but I want you to, I'm doing preparations towards that, and I'd like you to come do this meeting for me. So I said, okay. Sure, I'll do it. I'll help you with it. So he goes, and he gets this hall, and didn't like it. So he goes and gets this convention, like a convention center. conference center, rather. So they're going to charge him about $5,000 a day. They're going to do 3 days meetings. That's 15 grand. He says, I don't think I like this. It's too much money. And his partners saying, do it, you know, and said no. So they reduced the price to 8,000. He said, no, I still don't want to do it. They called him the next day and said, we feel strongly that you need to use this. These people have meetings there like every day. It's not like they're short of money. He said, but we feel strongly that we should have you use this place at that time. Would you please come back? So he went back, and he says to them, it's too much money. How much can you pay? He says, maybe 3,000, 4,000. For the 3 days? Yeah. He said, okay, well, you can have it. $12,000 or so dollars, gone. He's going to pay. He says, I got to tell you, this is what just happened. Well, of course. I'm not surprised. If God can do that for me, he can do it for them. Do you understand? God shall cause increase in all the works of your hands. And when you look at Glory and Peace Church and you look at this ministry, and you look at whoever it is that's here, you think, well, this is it. You got no clue, do you? Clueless. Because God speaks to people all around, different parts of the world. My day is full of people calling from different parts of the world. Hello, Papa. This, that. Because God's hand is on a life. Amen? At this feast, God will touch you. Amen? I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. God will what? Touch you. The same grace is on your life. The same grace is on all of your lives. I heard you singing today, coming in here. Hear just your voice. And I say, what a voice. That is an anointed voice. Because God sets everyone apart for his divine purpose. And he's doing it already in your life. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying, don't look down at yourself. Look up to God. Amen? And rejoice. Therefore, thou shalt surely what? Rejoice. You will rejoice. It doesn't matter what is happening right now. You will rejoice. It is a commitment of God to you. Amen? You will rejoice. Someone say, I will rejoice. Amen. Then it says in verse 16, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. And he's chosen this place for you. He's chosen this time for you and for me. And it says the males should appear before him. Why does he say three times in a year shall all thy males? Well, he's already talked about the men servants, the daughters, maid servants, the stranger. But he stresses now the males. Why the males? Because they are the seed carriers. Men carry the seed. And God, when he blesses the seed of the man, he blesses the generations of the man. That's the time when he blesses the man and his children and his children's children and his children's children's children and his children's 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 children for generations. It's a time of generational blessings. Is somebody listening? The Feast of Tabernacle is a time of generational blessings. That's why it's 100%, 100-fold. 100-fold. That's why we don't mess around with this time. You don't mess around with it. God, I need your 100-fold return in my life. Continue to increase me. Amen? He says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, that's Passover, and in the feast of weeks, that's Pentecost, and in the feast of what? Tabernacles, the third one. And they shall not appear before the Lord, what? Empty. You don't come empty-handed. Man. No man is allowed to come empty-handed. Praise the Lord. You come, you present yourself. You don't send it. This is not the time you send it. This is the time you appear. Amen? At a place that is chosen of God. This is it. I bring it. I release it. Because God wants contact. Praise the Lord. Supernatural contact. Now somebody might be listening to me online saying, I can't come to Winnipeg to come do that. Well, we're not. When we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, we're not talking about celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles like they did in the Old Testament. We are reenacting with thanksgiving what God did for us. Amen? And releasing that seed as a point of contact and saying, God, this is my seed. This is my seed. I'm releasing it to you right now. Nobody else is doing it for me. I'm doing it myself. I release it to you. At that point of you releasing it, you've already sent it. Because by faith, you are making that connection. And you're saying, God, you are the God who blesses my seed sown. My seed sown. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ came and honored this feast. He must have come on a midweek point like we are doing right now. The last day is going to be the last day that he comes and he pronounces that this river of God is going to flow out of individuals. It's going to come out of you. So that wherever you go, the blessing is. Amen? The move of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes you to be everywhere. Oh, I think you didn't hear what I just said. The Holy Spirit causes you to be everywhere. Glory be to God. If I tell you some stories, your hair will stand like Don King. But I can only talk about my experiences in God. Amen? I won't talk about that. Because I don't know if I've told this story recently here. There's a lady, very depressed. She wanted to take her life. She wanted to kill herself because she had all these questions. She had no answers. Sits in her family room. Says, God, if I don't get an answer today, I'm going to kill myself. Because I cannot continue living like this anymore. I cannot stay like this. I need an answer. And she's sitting down there. Her TV remote control is not by her. It's on the coffee table or whatever it is you call it. And while she's crying out to God and saying, God, I'm going to kill myself, her TV comes on. And when the TV comes on, there I am on her television screen. Are you listening to this? I'm on her television screen answering all of her questions. 1, 2, 3. Answered all the questions, the TV goes off. What just happened? She picks up the phone and calls the ministry and talks to a dear sister who is no longer with us here. And tells his sister what just happened. So that sister calls and tells me, say, you won't believe what just happened. I said, what happened? She tells me this story. I said, oh my God. How does that happen? But when the Spirit of God is on you, you can be anywhere. You understand? You can be anywhere. I've had friends of mine in different countries call me and say, you were in my country and you didn't call. I said, what country is that? And tell me the country. I said, I was not there. I said, sure you were. Everybody was talking about you being here. I said, I wasn't there. Yes, you were. Why are you telling me a lie, man? I said, I'm not lying. People saw you. They called me. You were there preaching. I said, when was that? And he started telling me. I said, oh. I thought I was dreaming. I thought I was in my house dreaming about preaching somewhere, but God, by His Spirit, can take you anywhere He wants to take you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I don't know if Brandry remembers this, but we were at the Morrison Elementary School at the time, I think. And I said, there's going to come the time, at that time, I didn't know anything about holograms showing up, but this is it. You know, if it can be done in the natural, it can happen in the realm of the spirit. You understand? I said, I see the day. Now, this is like 30 years ago, or close to. I see the day when I'm going to be preaching in one spot here, and I'll be at the same time in different parts of the world, preaching at the same time, I said. It doesn't make sense in the natural. But in the realm of the spirit, that is so possible. Amen? When God comes to tabernacle with us, he can do whatever he wants to do with us. Glory be to God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Pastor, this is way too much for me. You've not seen anything yet. Before this whole thing wraps up, before we leave here, the world will not know what to do with the church, the true church, not the gimmicky church. I'm talking about real men and real women of God. God is going to do extraordinary things through our lives. His wisdom shall flow in you and through you. Amen? A dear sister was sharing with me about a dear man, not very educated, but has developed. You say there? You don't? Potato, potato. Okay. As long as nobody crucifies me for saying developed or developed, I'll be fine with it. Goes to sleep, and God downloads into him great ideas, business ideas. Those kinds of things are happening. You don't have to go to school for everything. God can download them. Listen, in an age where you can download information, do you think God can download stuff when he tabernacles with you? Well, if by faith we don't make that connection that God can, then it will not. According to your faith. According to your faith. God, do something extraordinary with my life that's beyond what I can even imagine. No limits on God. The God of increase, increase me. And bless the work of my hands. And he does it. Amen? He does it. Can you imagine? Maybe you cannot. But if you know how much things cost, if you know how much things cost, if you know how much it costs to be on television, for example, anybody on television knows how much it costs. And then look at Glory and Peace Church and then tell me how in the natural you can be on television every day. Because I can call a pastor now that's on television and say, how much do you pay? How much is your budget for television? And without fail, I'm talking about just a church here in Winnipeg, one in Winnipeg. They are not on every day, just on Sundays. And they will tell you the cost is in the millions. So how do I do it? How do you do? How are you on television every day? Don't ask me, ask him. It is not by might nor power, but by the Spirit of the living God. How is it that you are on so many platforms around the world that you can go to Africa and they can pick you up, your program, your whatever it is that you send to them? Oh, how is that? Do you know these people? No. I don't know them. So how did they? We got to have your program. Well, God's grace tabernacles. That's why, child of God, let me tell you something. If you are serving in any particular area of ministry in this household, the blessing of God that God has ordained on your life is beyond what you think you know. Because whatever it is that we're doing here, we're not doing on the basis of our might or our ability. We're doing by the grace of God. Amen? Hallelujah. It's all by the grace of God. And if you serve in any part, take it seriously, because you are doing the assignment of God, and you, God is going to ask you, what did you do with this area of ministry? What did you do with it? I gave it for free. I gave it for this. I gave it for that. What did you do with your area of ministry? He'll ask you. I'm not going to be the one asking you. But when you know God has tabernacled, God's hand is here, then be in it. Be involved. Be part of it. Cause it to flourish. Cause it to prosper. And God will cause his grace to abound towards you in every area that you allow him in. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God will multiply your seed sown. You know, the mistake I found is that people many times have not learned that. You need to, it's like this. How do I put it to you? What belongs to God, you don't give to another. You give what belongs to God to God, and you give what belongs to another to another. And before you do anything with whatever it is that comes into your hand, honor God first. If you give God the leftovers, you'll be left over. According to how you should measure you, the measure that you mete out, that's how it's going to be meted back to you. You make God an afterthought, you'll be an afterthought. You make God number one in your thinking, because he's tabernacled with you, you're one with him, you'll be first. Not because of your greatness, but because of your faithfulness, your love for him. He will pick you out. The race does not go to the swiftest. It's not the fastest person that wins the race most of the time. All kinds of things can happen. The important thing is to be chosen. God chooses the place. God chooses the person. Huh? He chooses the place. He chooses the person. That's why it's important for every one of us to know who God has chosen for us to partner with, tabernacle with, if you understand. This is a person God has called me to stick with, because this is the deal. The mistake people make is everything. When God blesses, he has blessed. If God gives you a cup of water, he's giving you a cup of water. You can do and increase that cup of water by working with it. But if you disconnect from that which God will cause to refill your cup, you will enjoy the cup until it is finished. At some point, it will be finished. But God will never come and take the cup of water that he gave to you from you. Let me put it another way. If I come and I give you a prophetic word, God is going to bless you. God is going to do this, and God is going to do that, and God is going to do this, and God is going to do that. You say, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, I got what I got. I got what I came for. And you take off. The blessing will still come because the prophetic word went. But it will only last for as long as that blessing is supposed to last for. The blessing will go with you, but it will not pursue you and overtake you. It will only catch up with you. That's why the blessing does not continue down generations for some people. If you go back, there was a point when they disconnected from tabernacling with God and with the one that God has placed them with. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? And so this is the deal. Today I'm just talking. The devil will separate you from the continued blessing by bringing strife into your spirit. Whether it's in a marriage, in a church, in a business relationship, whatever. You separate yourself. It's like this. There's a nice rose plant. Huh? The rose border, the flower is there. You cut it. Does that rose, do the rose petals immediately fall off? No. They still stay there. True? But is that rose going to stay there and continue to produce next year and next the year after and the year after? No. Just cut off. It's dead. The one that is still planted over here, oh yeah, the leaves, because of the season, you know, the season will come when all the leaves fall off and everything else. But the next year, it's going to come back. Or the next few months, it's going to come back. There's continuity. It's going to continue to increase. But the one that's cut off, it's going to open up. And it's all going to fall off. The leaves dry up. There's no greenery anymore. It's not beautiful anymore. The stick or whatever the stem, the stick, the stem dries up and does it. Does it. It is the life of continuity, tabernacling with God and God tabernacling with you, that causes you to experience everything God has for you. And God says, you know what? The way to keep on doing this is keep on rejoicing. Rejoice. You surely rejoice. Amen? So when something bad happens, he says, I will surely rejoice. I will have a testimony. I will have a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you remember me teaching you about the shout of the Lord and clapping and shouting and how? Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to have your shout. Amen. That is where God is calling you and I to. Amen? You are going to ruah. And, you know, that word ruah, who is a shout, found in Psalm 47, is also means to destroy. Your roar is going to destroy the activities of the enemy around you. Amen? Because at the time of the tabernacle, remember they were in the wilderness. Yeah? That's where they built the tabernacle. In the wilderness, there are all kinds of dangerous stuff. So for them to go and pitch a tabernacle in there, wherever it was that they were depending on the protection of God to keep all the snakes off. But what caused the snakes to come? Remember, snakes came and started biting them? Their disobedience. Their resistance of the word of God and the generation of strife. And snakes started come to bite them. Don't allow the snake to come to where you're tabernacling. It must die. Amen? And how did God solve that problem? He told Moses, raise up a brazen serpent. And John tells us that just like Moses raised it up in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, so is Jesus going to be raised up for our deliverance. Amen? God came and made his presence known in our midst. What happened with the tabernacle? When there were tabernacle out there in the wilderness? Well, what happened was God caused water to come out of the rock. Remember that? They were running out of water, and there it comes, strike it with a rod of authority. Bang! Water came out of the rock. And guess what? Followed them. Can you imagine? It followed them. Well, that's God's presence abiding with us. That no matter how dry the place you are, there is going to be water there. Have you ever been in a situation where rain just pours in a small area? You go over there, no rain. You go over there, no rain. But right here, it's all pouring. God will focus his attention on you and pour his blessings upon you and open heaven over your life. Amen? But understand this. I'll save it till next time when I talk about the rain. In time God rains on your life, it's because, you see, rain was sent because God wanted man to work. It did not rain on the earth because there was no man to till it. So when we're talking about the rain of God, while you're busy looking out at the open heavens, God wants you to remind yourself, I can make the desert bloom. You go to Israel right now, and you will see the desert blooming. The desert is blooming. I was listening to Prime Minister Netanyahu the other day on a clip I got. And he's saying, you know, Moses got water out of a rock. He says, but our scientists now are getting water out of air. I say, hey, out of air. There's no water in there. Out of air, thin air, water. God gave somebody some smarts. Why is it that about a quarter of all of the scientific stuff that the world is enjoying is coming from one little, I don't think, is Israel as big as Manitoba? No. And they are feeding the world all, most of the scientific stuff happening, a great deal of them come out of Israel. It doesn't matter what stuff is happening in the U.S. or wherever else, the brains working it, they are coming out of Israel. Oh, because the hand of God is upon the people. He gave a promise. Huh? He gave what? A promise. And so the guy goes to sleep and comes up with a great idea. I think we should try this. Do you think that we as the Church of Jesus Christ, that God is leaving us behind? If we've been grafted into this tree, we've got to have some of that smarts too. Amen? We're the children of Abraham, for goodness sakes. They had angels' food in the wilderness. Quail, yeah? It will land on the field, and you go there and just grab whatever, and it doesn't fly away. Are you kidding me? The birds didn't fly away? No, they came and landed there and said, catch me. cook me, which way, barbecue me, whatever way, I'm ready. I came here. Huh? Every day? Yes. Yes. In that, God says, build that up and remind yourself, I'm able to bring those birds and land them right where you are so you can just catch it, make life easy for you. So the same. I'm going to make life easy for you. You don't have to run out there. I'll make it easy for you. I'll bring it to you. Well, child of God, we need to know this, because the day is going to come when somebody's going to say, you cannot buy or sell around here. And God will deliver special delivery. Amen. Hallelujah. Special what? Delivery. You got to believe it now. Not then. You believe it now. And so he reminds us, remember the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember. I'll bring the water. You open your tap, whether City of Winnipeg shut it off because you didn't pay and because they think that you should. I'll bring the water. Okay, guess what? He became their air conditioning system, the pillar of cloud. He cooled it down for them in the wilderness. You want to take my Hydro wants to take my power? Help yourself. And during the day, I'm cool. And when it's nighttime, light comes on. Where are you getting the power from? We shut. The meter is not running. Why? But you got to have faith now. Amen? You've got to have faith now that God can fill your freezer. And I've experienced it. That God can fill your gas tank. And I've experienced it. Driving on empty all week long. An hour each way. I've experienced it. So I know what I'm talking about. I've experienced it, God taking me to shop, and I got a suit for, I don't know how much, $20 something, $20 or whatever. He's still God. Are you capishing what I'm talking about? He's still God. I'm saying, child of God, believe God. Believe him. He's well able. Amen? He'll bless you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Well, let me stop there. Tonight was just a refresher night. Just reflecting on some things about the tabernacle that we need to think about. Say, God, I need to experience you in ways that I've not experienced you before. The Old Testament is a sampling for us on what we should be experiencing in greater dimension in the New Covenant. If that happened then, it should happen now, plus. The Lord said, kids of this world are smarter than my own kids. They're wiser. Because the natural world, they learn something and they keep on applying. We stuck with speaking in tongues. We're stuck. One goosebump over the other. We're stuck. Hallelujah. We had a great service. Praise God. No, it's got to be more than that. If in the world system they are developing systems to cause a crippled person, paralyzed person to walk by chip, maybe our God can do more than that. Don't you think? So why aren't we saying it? Because we really don't believe. We say we believe. We say we believe. But if we say we believe, then we don't doubt when we are praying for it. And in fact, we don't need to pray for it. We just declare, this is the word of the Lord. Be healed. But if we say that, the first thing we're going to do is he walking yet? It still looks like the same. Oh. Well, like they were by the fig tree when Jesus says, you're not going to bear fruit. And they waited. And they waited. They just left. Just said what he wanted to say and left. They came back the next day. Hey, it happened. What were you expecting? Miracles happen that way. Did you know, I might shock you now, that when you read the Bible and it says Jesus healed, that most of the healings of the Lord were therapeo, which is the slowest form. That means it got better and better. Did you know that? When you read, and you read in the original, it uses the word therapeo. That's why when people came and said, I oh my, I want instantaneous, I know you can do it. He said, hey, you got that kind of faith? Have you seen this kind of faith in all Israel? All these guys believe it's better and better. Here comes this gentle guy and says, we need a quick work. Rapido. We need to believe God for rapid activities. Unnatural growth. Do you understand? Unnatural. That it grows real fast. Well, I won't even say that. Okay. So, are you ready to pray? You can stand, you can sit, whichever way you want. Why won't you say, repeat after me. Lord, tabernacle with me. Let what that means happen in my life. The impact, the benefit of you tabernacling with me, joining with me, I with you, and you with me, the impact, the benefit of it, let it be manifest in my spirit, in my soul, in my body, in my finances, in my relationships, in everything, oh God, that impacts my life. Lord God Almighty, reveal yourself. Do the extraordinary through me now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I don't want same old, same old. I don't want things like they used to be anymore. I've experienced that. Now I want to experience the new things that you have ordained to bring to pass. You said, I will do a new thing. Will you believe it? Lord, I believe it. I stand here today and I declare, Lord, I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word. You will do great and mighty things in my life, through my life, for my life, by my life. God, do it now. Father, 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 do it now. Tabernacle with me. Tabernacle with me. Increase me. Multiply me. Cause me, O God, to burst forth rapidly with supernatural increase.
May I burst forth. May I break forth in the name of Jesus. I break forth, oh God, in fruitfulness. I am fruitful. I multiply, I increase, and I subdue all things in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that your name is above all names in my life. And Lord, oh God, I am the first to bow down before you. And when I rise, oh God, I will rise in the authority of your name and cause all things to be subdued. So your name is exalted. Let me be your hands, O Father. May I be your feet, O God. Let me be your mouthpiece, O God. Let me speak, O God, by the authority of your word. And Lord, O God, let lives be forever changed. Use these hands, O God, and prosper everything that I do. Cause my feet, O God, to be swift to doing that which is right. In the name of Jesus, I receive now all of the benefits of the Feast of Tabernacles. I rejoice before you, and I declare boldly, Jesus is Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Well, we bless those of you listening online. We look forward to seeing you on Friday at the same time, 6:30, we'll be here. We'll start streaming somewhere around 6:45 or so. Get yourself ready for what God is going to do this Friday. It's going to be different as the Lord is giving direction. And I want you to be part of it. But then on the last day, which is Sunday, if you've not done it, focus your attention and get for yourself, especially if you're male, a special offering that you are going to present to the Lord. You're going to declare, this is offering of my ingathering. Whatever it is you are believing God for, this is the time, this is the season that God is going to bless your seed sown by exchanging seed with you. God is going to give you better seed to sow. Amen? But bring him something to exchange with. Amen? And this, remember, this is the season of the hundredfold return. Passover was 30-fold. Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, was 60-fold. Now is the Feast of Tabernacle, the third feast. And this is the Feast of the hundredfold return. Invest. Be smart. Amen? Be smart. That's all I can tell you. Be smart. And just invest a special seed. If you are a woman, that does not separate you from it. If you are a woman that has, you're not married yet, you've not had children yet, I encourage you to bring a seed for those sons that are going to be inside of you. Amen? And just like Levi gave tithe through Abraham, you also, when you release that seed unto the Lord, you're saying, God, I'm giving this on behalf of the sons that I'm going to have. Amen? I'm starting them before they are even born. Praise the Lord. And I can tell you something. When you start out with God that way, wherever that man is hiding, they will wake up from their sleep and they will see you. Amen? The blinders will go off. Praise the Lord. If I were a lady, that's what I will do. Praise the Lord. Amen?